As yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
Today, good morning, everybody. What really caused that malfunction in the PM's cockpit? Peter Costello has the answer, and its name is Kevin.
Of course it was. And Jamie from Big Brother, remember him? What's he been up to? All good things.
Who's had some work done, and how bad has it turned out?
Got a grenade? Got a pot of honey?
You've come to the right show. Rednecks in the sack, the Hanson Oldfield hookup. What's the latest on that one-legged prostitute that married Paul McCartney? And after 70 grand of taxpayers' coin, how's Amanda Vanstone's Chinese?
Got $20 in New Hampshire. What can you get for that?
We'll find out all this, plus Adam Zwa, the star of that show, Wilfred. That's on SBS tonight. And that gives us an excuse to do our favourite topic, animals behaving like humans.
Yeah, thinks these people.
It's all coming up on Get This, the program where the PM likes to say...
The Labour Party says...
Yes, Triple M is Mandolin here at Get This around the country. Welcome aboard, everybody. Another week of it with myself, Tony Martin. We've got Ed Cavalli here.
Guys. Lovely to see you.
Richard Marsden's on board. Are we all seated comfortably?
Mark Aldinho.
Obviously, the big news is the Prime Minister's forced landing. Did you see that footage?
No.
Prime Minister John Howard's plane was forced into an emergency landing in war-torn Iraq last night when it became apparent the in-flight movie was Wild Hogs. No, that's not true. Did you see him screaming out of the plane?
Yeah.
Running, shrieking, hands in the air.
So much smoke, it was like Ray Fiennes was getting up to a rather busy... busy session.
Oh, in smoking
the,
it up.
At burning rubber.
I love the Prime Minister's outfits too. You know, he has a selection of costumes. You've got normal suit. You've got visiting farmers, the sort of tweedy greenish suit with the elbow patches.
And the farmer's hat.
You've
freshly
got
pressed.
Meeting the army, the leather jacket.
Oh, yeah,
he's
man.
He's copied that one off George Bush, the leather bomber jacket.
Digging the bomber jacket.
And then the gimp outfit for round the house. He's got all bases covered. But did you guys see Peter Costello's press conference yesterday?
No.
Oh, it was pretty chilling. Have a listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me begin by reassuring you the Prime Minister is safe. You must have seen the footage of him running from the plane, screaming like a schoolgirl, waving his hands in the air. I mean, sure, some might suggest that that's, you know, not prime ministerial behaviour. Maybe there's someone else, someone who might have done a better job of emerging from that plane, and someone with perhaps a better grasp of the economic fundamentals. But that's not for me to say, and I'd rather you wouldn't suggest such a thing. Well, the fact is we're all slightly distracted by, obviously, the assassination attempt. And, you know, it's over now. Rudd's been foiled. And, well, you know, ask yourself this. Where was Kevin Rudd on the weekend? Who's to say he wasn't in Baghdad with a ground-to-air missile? Well, okay, maybe he's, you know, controlling it from back here, you know, in a restaurant in Perth. You know, he's sitting there, Brian Burke's working the joystick, Tony Mockbell's, you know, navigating, Bradley John Murdoch's over at the salad bar, throwing in suggestions. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Rudd and his cronies.
But the report says well, smoke yeah, in
what are you people pilots now, are you? I mean, it's a plane. It's full of smoke. I mean, it's a confusing environment. Who knows if it was smoke? Maybe it was, you know, a swarm of killer wasps that Rudd and Burke and Mockbell have, you know, released from the overhead lockers.
How would they do that?
You know, by remote control. Who's to say that they weren't planning to redirect that plane towards, you know, an orphanage full of kiddies? And where's the team of inspectors round at his house looking for killer bees? I mean, wouldn't that be the place to start?
What about, Mr. Costello, we're off the point. What about these accusations about the death of Kevin Rudd's father?
Right, the hospital.
I mean,
well,
outrageous.
What exactly was the young Kevin Rudd up to?
But at the hospital...
You know, I'm sure we've all seen that film, The Omen.
Oh,
you know, there's a lot of loose ends that need tying up. Let me ask you this. Who was known as Dr. Death when he was working in Queensland?
Yes, but sure...
You know, who's to say Rudd himself?
Oh,
well, you know, nobody had stopped to question. It wouldn't be until... you know, the garrotted corpses of various members of staff are found piled high in an airing cupboard at the basement of the hospital.
When did this
that
happen?
Maybe people start to put two and two together. Who was that young Dr. Rudd we had in last week?
Where are the corpses?
Well, well, you can't, you wouldn't be able to find them because he would have burnt them in his incinerator. Along with, you know, his buddies, you know, Mock Bell and Burke and Hannibal Lecter.
Fictional.
You mean like the story of why Rudd got thrown off the farm? Oh, well, that's, you know, we accept one fictional story, we turn our noses up at another.
And
we come around to election time and we say, do we want the common sense, you know, hand on the tiller, steady as she goes approach of Prime Minister Costello, Howard, or do we want Dr. Death strapped to a gurney? You know, using his tongue, which extends from his body a good 20 metres, and can strangle a kitty and slam them into a wall, splattering brains across a poor elderly person's pension book and calling that policy. It's time to have a look at ourselves, I think. You know, a few people want that.
Yeah,
well, all I can say is John Howard is safe. Kevin Rudd is a murderer.
Where is your evidence?
Which piece of news are you going to report tomorrow? My guess is it'll all be about the plane flight, and there won't be anything about Rudd and the rotting, stinking corpses piling up in his basement. And, you know, if you can't handle the truth, people, please stop asking me all these questions about Kevin Rudd. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
Okay. All right. I don't know. What is the story?
Well,
he's producing constant evidence of Rudd's murders.
It's the wasps I'm most worried about.
The killer bees now.
Because they can go, who knows how, if they can get all the way to Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, from Perth. Then
when
they,
are the authorities?
They can get in here. They'll get in here.
When are the authorities going to act on this
point? I don't know. He is.
They're persistent journalists, aren't they, in the background? I want to be one of those.
You
someday.
Can't. You're not toned.
It's fantastic.
They're pretty annoying, I think.
Is it at all possible that they looked at the mess and went, look, Santoro's no good, this porno dude's hanging about. Let's create a smoke screen. Good idea.
Yeah. Hey, porno dude, you say? We've got more porno dudes coming up next on Get This. And that's Silverchair Straight Lines around the nation on Triple M. It's Get This. And before that, we heard Treasurer Costello writing some pretty compelling evidence. Prime Minister's mid-air scare. Afterwards, on the tarmac, the Prime Minister was unfazed. I mean, when you've got a completely bodgy war that's been shonked up using dodgy information, you've got to expect the whole thing's going to be pretty much an unending series of cock-ups, he said. I don't know if that's an exact quote. It might have been misquoted.
Yeah.
Let's not lose hope, he added. There's still several buildings here that haven't yet blown up. At that point, the podium collapsed and he fell backwards into a swimming pool. I don't know if there's any footage of that.
It's a great victory tour. It's going well.
I'd be disappointed. If I was fighting the good fight in Iraq
and
they said, oh, look, you're getting a special guest, I'd be going, sweet, Aaron McNaught, here we go. Aaron McNaughty, Hawko, any of the kind of...
Vegan Gale.
The Gale, Crystal and her mum, the fake Norks tour.
So some sort of... USO,
some
hell of a sand trap. Kind
the,
of.
The cheerleaders, Russell Crosack.
They're looking for a gig.
Wow.
Get the bunnies over there.
Instead, hello everybody.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Look at my bomber jacket.
Oh no.
It's like the one George Bush wears.
Oh no. Are you going to do a dance at least?
I have to protest about, you know, Costello's mentioning of Bradley John Murdoch. As we know, the last time that happened, one of Bradley John Murdoch's relatives called up to complain that we'd suggested he'd been in a restaurant with Brian Burke. That's going too far. Did you see that movie last night?
No, I didn't. Well,
which one was it?
The Murder in the Outback. Joanne Lee's Murder in the Outback was the name of the film.
That implies that she did it.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
It was Bradley John Murdoch, as we predicted. Richard Carter. Doing a great job. Looked like him. But because I think Murdoch's gone into appeal, they must have had to cut all his lines out because he hardly said anything for the whole thing. It was mainly just snarling.
Yeah.
A lot of snarling behind glass. Give me some lines. Legal department won't let me speak, so I'll just snarl some more. And man, our Aussie actors are getting some good jobs, aren't they, Tom Long?
Oh, well, who'd Longy play?
He's in all the ads. He had about four lines.
Who did he play?
He was just a bloke who came in and went, I've got those files you need.
Good stuff.
Give him a
Logie. Anything for TV hopeful Jake Wall in there?
Nothing.
No. Dear, I thought he could have played the Manacles, the homemade Manacles.
The corpse, maybe.
That would have been good stuff. The corpse they never found. Yeah. They just leave him out there for a few months. Doing a great job, Jake. Keep it up.
What else was going on last night? Oh, my sister got was on Australia's... I was going to say Australia's Most Wanted. Australia's Most Talented.
Fantastic.
Again, Australia's Got Talent, whatever it's called.
Yeah, and...
Came out with the string quartet and did the final countdown.
Job style.
Yeah. They remember when they did it on our show? There they are.
It is.
Oh, my phone's ringing.
Look at that. Job's doing a poor magic trick.
Mako.
Goes on a bit.
It does go on a bit, but it's a good ringtone. I wasn't sure whether they were doing it sincerely or as a tribute to Job from Arrested Development, now that that is his theme song.
God, he's the
funniest man on TV.
God, he's
Were
the
you
best.
Watching some on the weekend?
I had a really big weekend. Yeah. I got through all of season two.
Oh, okay.
I've got friends, Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, season 5 to 7 to get to next week.
Just on the television.
So, is that where you're up to? Have you not seen season 3?
I have, but I'm re-watching it.
Yeah. Oh, re-watching it.
I've got friends. I've got friends, I promise.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've been looking for a handout. I ran a pretty tight ship.
Sad after the bloke's lost his hand to the seal. Rest of Development, worth getting on DVD.
Yeah.
But Australia's got talent.
Hey, so she got through.
Yeah, well, no, what
happened was... How'd they look?
Bond-like.
Really?
You'll hate me say that.
Ow!
But they... well, see, what happened was the little kitty playing the piano won. Mm. But then there's a second chart. Someone else, they can vote on the SMS for, you know, the audience choice.
Oh, right.
But she...
So she got knocked out.
Well... You know, the jury's out.
What
so
do you
like
mean?
Peter Costello, jury's out.
Hang on a sec. She got knocked out by the kitty with the piano.
Yeah, but
so
then,
she's out.
But one other person gets a chance to still go on if enough people SMS in. And
well,
I know.
So who's she up against?
The performing dogs, which I must admit were very good.
Yeah. Like I saw one climb
dog on a tightrope. You can't beat dog on a tightrope.
Thinks his people.
He does. He knows his people.
The 5 films for Best Picture at the Oscars, and then at the last minute they added 6 nominee. Dog on a tightrope. I'd go with dog on a tightrope.
Dog on a tightrope.
That's the winner.
And what else?
Old bloke playing a gum leaf.
Nah.
You know, he tried to, suck up to the judges by doing Final Countdown as well. But,
did he?
No, he didn't. Would have sounded good, though, on a gum leaf. Final
Absolutely.
Countdown.
So it's gum leaf, dogs,
yep.
V Bond, V Godiva.
Not Bond, Godiva, yeah.
I reckon the dogs are going to destroy them.
My sister, I called her up afterwards and I said, the judges were quite kind. She goes, they cut out all the judges' nasty comments.
Really?
Apparently Red called them strumpets with strings.
Oh, Red?
No, I'm going, that's great. Change the name of the band to that. At least it's not a pun. I can't get behind Godiva. That's a pun.
Yeah,
you know me.
I know you.
Kerry will be listening at home, swearing at her radio right now.
Well, call in.
Yeah.
We might put you to air.
Yeah, okay. what about that disturbing imagery of David Oldfield? And Pauline Hanson on the job.
What?
Oh, it was over the weekend. We'll talk about that next. Please, don't go away. That's not very good sizzle. Here, get this. Echo Beach, far away in time. We get the idea. Martha and the Muffins here at Get This on Triple M.
Are they still going? Rich?
No, they're. I think one of them went on to play with Robert Palmer and a few other projects. But they had a lot of albums, Trance and Dance.
Yeah,
they had a follow-up single called Black Stations, White Stations.
They didn't end up in Gorillaz at all?
No, they should have. I mean, really. I love the Gorillaz.
Okay, well, I'm glad we found out what happened to the Muffins. That's important to know. But what about Pauline Hanson? David Oldfield was my lover, she says.
Gosh.
Dear, oh dear.
Gosh.
Disturbing imagery. I'm just picturing... It was at a Canberra motel as well. That's all. People in the next room just heard a lot of bedspring noise punctuated by, I don't like it. Hey, Pauline, here's what I'm going to do. I'm so sorry.
Please explain.
Well, Pauline.
Let me demonstrate.
What a video.
I don't know. And then he's making things worse today, Oldfield. He says, this is a quote, Pauline does not have a dress or anything else I left a stain on.
Just Australia.
That's just making it worse, David.
So what's he saying? She can't prove it?
Yeah.
That she can't prove nothing. Check all the addresses. There's no stains.
Why would you claim to have slept with David Oldfield if it wasn't true? What possible benefit could there be? Honestly, but he's married now to that woman who's on the catch-up every day advancing the cause of feminism.
Oh, okay. Her name's also Alfie.
There you go. Well done.
Dragon.
Good on the muffins, not so good on politics.
Oh, is that politics, is it?
Yeah, that's covered now. Oh, no, there's another big politics story here. Former Immigration Minister Amanda Vanstone has run up a bill of close to $70,000 for Chinese language lessons. Senator Vanstone said the lessons were part of her job as Immigration Minister, but she failed to impress a businessman from China with a speech in Canberra last year. He described her Chinese as excruciating. Apparently, after 8 months of lessons, when quizzed, yes, the only Chinese phrase she could remember was "me no reiki." Oh, hang on. Is that racist? Dear. Sorry. Now, she's invented her own language. Took her 8 months. It's called a Mandarin. And it's just two phrases, "me no reiki" and "me reiki." That's, she'd just show up at meetings and she would only use those two phrases. Amanda, it was offensive.
Yeah.
Got her to where she is today, though.
Covers the whole gamut.
Oh? Can't get anything faster.
She moved on to the songwriting. What a cavalcade of activities it was for Amanda Vanstone when she was in that job. Writing songs.
Chinese lessons.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, Big Brother.
Oh, is that now?
Yeah, oh yeah. Unless you want to keep talking about that.
No. No, I think that's enough about that.
Listen to this.
What's happened?
In your Zoo magazine, a top old read, Crystal's let us down this week.
Oh, nothing about the old Mr. Ballsack.
No. Ballsack's gone quiet. Yeah. She's gone quiet on the Ballsack front. But luckily, they've managed to drag Jamie, the winner of Big Brother last year, out of his busy schedule to ask him the tough questions. Mm-hmm. You know, who's been trying to shag you? Do you talk to someone or another? And here's a good one, though. They say to him, how about saying like every other word? Do people like still call you Zoolander? Now, Jamie had a lot of we had a lot of people calling in last year saying that Jamie was, you know, doing nothing. Perhaps he was a bit of a loser. You know,
why do people call him Zoolander? Because he's always looking in the mirror doing the blue steel.
Exactly. Ah. Now, that's unfair. Because listen to the contribution he's making to society.
Yes.
So do people still call you Zoolander? Jamie says, I walked past a busker in the city the other day and he started singing every lyric with like in it. And I'm like, I was going to give you 20 cents, but now you can F off.
Now you can like F off. Like.
I mean, this is the man we want back on our screens.
Yeah.
Finally, someone putting buskers in their place, entertaining for the public for pretty much no money. How dare they?
Was that busker Galen, buddy chance?
There you go.
I was just trying to find some of Jamie's poetry, but it's still the test of time.
Is that right? It's been deleted from the computer. Out? Someone's Lee Simon's come in and gone, nah, keep those old night moves. But I think they're Jamie poetry's fast. It's used by date. Just quickly, Heather McCartney, Mills McCartney, you know her. She says she is not an attention seeker. She said that in an interview from the set of Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
I wish I'd made that up. That's such a good joke, but it's just true. Sometimes the news does the work
good
for
idea.
You.
Good idea.
Man, I've got something exactly like that. Do you want it?
Oh, let's hear it. Is this about people driving through...
driving through houses.
This is the great new craze here in Australia.
Oh, is it back? Really, they went quiet for a while.
Yeah, it hasn't been much since Christmas.
And there was someone who drove into a screening of Dreamgirls in the United States.
And no one was killed. No one was even touched.
This is from Adelaide. And listen, I hope... I'll just, you know, say that I hope this guy's okay, because I'm not sure. He's been taken to the hospital. This guy has crashed into not one, but four homes.
Four in one go?
The driver, aged in his mid-70s, drove straight into a house on this corner.
Yep, gotcha.
Then his car hit the garage door with such force it pushed the owner's vehicle through another wall.
Oh, fantastic!
And into the lounge room. So a chain reaction.
It's great.
The driver then reversed and crashed into another house.
Yes, yep,
severely
good.
Damaging the front wall, garage, and another car.
Right. That's three cars hit, three houses hit.
Yeah.
Shocked residents ran out to survey the damage and were horrified to see the man still driving. He swerved along the avenue before jumping the curb and smashing into the front porch of another residence.
Oh, it's the Gumball Rally. Sensational.
The man then backed onto the street before driving into a stoby pole, two trees, and the front porch of another house.
Wow.
He then reversed again and drove more than 200 metres in reverse down the street before residents called the police.
There you go.
And remove the keys by force.
That is defensive driving.
Get that man to Movie World.
It's amazing.
He's just his, give him a
his own Grand Theft Auto.
Give him a show. Sack the police academy, clowns. Get this guy a go.
And I think no injuries, I don't think, to any innocent parties. He's been taken to hospital. I hope he's okay.
You'd like to think the ambulance went through a couple more frontages on the way there. Maybe just drove through the front of the hospital just to tidy things up and keep the numbers
that's
good.
Amazing.
Well, that's our driver of the year. What about people?
He's probably drunk on the sunscreen. Have they tested him for sunscreen?
Is he a Geelong footballer, Brody Chance? Who's had some work done?
Oh,
that's
great.
What we're going to find out next.
Get this.
We're not even a third of the way there yet.
Brought to you by Rob Delaney from Gippsland, who made the front page of his local paper with a UFO hoax, planted an open for inspection sign in his teacher's front yard, and reckons Todd and Branch should be played by Hale and Pace. Well done, future Senator Delaney.
Let's get this on Triple M around Australia. Aww. And let's get straight to music, guys.
Rich,
what have we got today?
Well, Richard's crying, poor little thingy.
Richard, what's the matter?
No, he's crying because he does. Why are you crying, Rich?
Not enough swimming coverage on the
TV.
Enough swimming coverage,
he's
really.
He's worried that there's the booklets in the newspaper, the front pages for the last 2.5 years, the constant primetime coverage isn't enough. He needs to know more about Jody Henry's winning backstroke or whatever it's called.
How does that lead to a song?
We're gonna cheer him. I want you to really listen to the lyrics, particularly the first couple of lines. I'm gonna sing. Okay. Tone, if you wouldn't mind playing piano. One, two, three, four.
Please don't cry.
Sorry, I had to see those guys.
You know I'm leaving here.
It's all right, Richard. There'll be swimming in the next break. I'm sure there will be. Shine on. Yeah, get this. That's, it's Jet. And it's, time for a climb. Oh. But weren't we going to have some special new themes for Talkback Mountain this week?
Yeah, I might investigate a few new themes to maybe just spike the show with.
Spiking now, are
I'd
we?
Love to spike.
Throughout the week.
I'd love to something more gangster, you know.
Oh, okay, more gangster. Bell Biv DeVoe.
Oh, BBV, that'd be good.
All right. But what have we got today?
Just in Vogue.
In Vogue, yes.
Chug it.
Talkback.
The classics.
I think you'll find Mountain. Who's had some work done? Why are we doing that? Is that because of these pictures of Sam Newman over the weekend?
Oh.
Look at this. This is a picture of Sam Newman in 1997 when he looked almost exactly like comedian Darren Casey.
Yeah.
And that was one of my surefire laugh lookalikes. And yeah, it hasn't been working for the last few years. I'm going, what's going on? That used to be gold. And look, it's because of how many changes have occurred between 97 and now.
Darren should try and keep up.
Yeah, that's right. Darren Casey just has to look at these pictures to know what he would look like if he were to have some alarming incredible plastic surgery.
Sam's spending a lot of time in the old wind tunnel.
A lot of time. I told you, a friend of mine came down from Northern Territory, didn't know who Sam Newman was, and without being racist about it, thought that he must have been half Chinese. Just like Keanu Reeves, just thought, well, you know, that's obviously the case. But no, it's the plastic surgery that's
it's in the paper today.
Turned his face into a brittle piece of parchment. Okay, so that's
had some
going
work
on.
Done.
We know that Sam's had a bit of work done. Who else has had some work done?
Well, Donatella Versace.
Oh,
according to my friends at New Idea, it looks like she's gone in and asked for the Jeff Fennick look.
Oh,
look at that. She's had the nose planed away so that it's just flat to her face. Yeah. And so to compensate, she's thought, well, what I need here is to get one of those pool ponies.
Yes.
You know, two of those huge inflatable pool ponies and put one in each lip just to give it that authentic look.
She's heading for Wildenstein country.
Yes.
Donatella Versace.
Mm.
Who else? Has Phil Spector had any work done?
Phil.
I don't know, but he's in court this week. I hope they're running a metal detector across his hair. There could be a couple of guns secreted in there quite easily.
He's got a fro transplant.
There's a Ronette somewhere.
It's the wall of hair. Man alive.
He's not a wall of sound mind.
Look at this.
Looking forward to something.
Oh, where's your boy? Yeah, no, if you're going outrageous down that path, a boy, please. Well,
I mean, Puntown. Population Richard. So I tell you who hasn't had any work done is the Biggest Losers.
Yeah.
Now, in your Something or Other magazine, they're talking about the personal trainers, and Gerard, who's a wonderful man, one of them says, our trainer doesn't understand obesity. He has an understanding of training athletes, but we aren't athletes. We're fat people.
Well,
and it's an easy mistake to make.
That's right.
I turned it on the other day. I thought, geez, the swimmers have let themselves go. But no, they're fat people.
It was just fat people.
Yeah.
Okay. I know one of Richard's favourite is, of course, Matthew McConaughey. I don't think he's
He doesn't need to have words.
Would you like this picture framed for above your desk?
McConaughey is always fabulous. Thank you. I'll take that.
He loves that. Failure to launch.
Failure to launch.
How many times have you rendered failure to launch, Richard?
No, but I have to tell you that I've watched How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days way too many times.
How many times have you seen it, Rich?
Not failure to launch, but How to Lose a Guy.
What's your favourite bit where she comes home and is like, oh, look, I've made photographs of what our kids would look like?
It's not a favourite
bit, Rich.
No, it's just one that I got for free, and so it has to be on. It's just one of the DVDs that I have, like, out of five. So I just go, well, there's nothing on the telly. Let's watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
And what have you picked up on the fifth viewing? What are some of the subtle intricacies I may have missed by only watching half of it once?
As a writing challenge, when Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey meet, their exchange is merely one word to each other.
Oh yeah,
back and forth. So they don't actually say any real sentences.
Yeah,
they just say one word to each other.
Oh my god.
You know what? I can't believe it. Have you seen her shoes in that? Oh, my God.
What does your girlfriend say when you put these on? Not more chick flicks, Richard. Enough with the chick flicks.
Can we watch Platoon, please? Just once?
It's a sleeper
hit. Can we put
on
Hellboy? All right, who's had some work done, Richard?
Oh, well, it's interesting that you brought up Keanu Reeves, because that's who I was going to say.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have thought. No, I don't think he has. I'm just saying he looks way too good for a guy. Is he in his mid-40s now?
The interesting thing from my point of view is he's exactly the same age as me.
Right.
Yeah.
And he looks incredibly good.
So if he's had some work done, does that mean I have to... You know, because clearly I'm tailing him.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, Harold Ramis is who I look to see where I'm headed. He's about 10 years ahead of me. And I just go, oh, he's got a big gut now. I've got to do some sit-ups.
Oh, well.
Ramis is not looking good. Okay.
Those people have all clearly had some work done.
I'm sure the listeners would have better nominees.
Now, how much slander are we willing to get into here?
It's speculation.
So it's okay.
It's not fact. It's just who do you think... has had some work done.
Who do you think's had some work done?
It's get this, not the 7:30 report.
Now, hang on. Don't we want to dovetail this, Rich?
Oh, do we?
What were we saying today?
I think that's a good idea.
Your favourite bridge?
Your favourite bridge?
Your favourite bridge?
The Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Oh, right.
Of course, the icon.
If we got a three-hour show now...
The Sydney Harbour Bridge has had plenty of work done.
Yeah.
You know,
it sure has.
It was nothing.
It's been tightened at both ends.
So,
lots of great bridges. I mean, my favourite is the Goola River Bridge in Angle Vale, which my mum helped create as part of the Angle Vale Progress Association in the late 80s.
She got the bridge and the brothels in, didn't she?
Yes, she totally changed that town.
I'm going for the Mac Robertson Bridge.
It's beautiful.
In Melbourne, which my wife's grandfather, I think, designed.
Okay.
I might have that wrong.
I'm going to go for the bridge made of trolleys that we put across a creek in Brisbane when we were kids.
It's now on heritage listing, I think. That's what I've been told.
It's the oldest trolley bridge in the Southern Hemisphere.
Who do you think has had some work done? And if you can be bothered, what's your favourite bridge? I expect one person to call. 133353. Learn to fly. That's for the Prime Minister. Foo Fighters here at Get This Round the Nation on Triple M. We're up a certain mountain. We don't have time for the theme, Richard.
Oh, okay.
We're asking who's had some work done.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Your favourite bridge?
Favourite bridge.
No, that's okay. Who's had some work done?
Have a look at the front cover of your Zoo magazine and tell me there's not some work done there.
Yeah.
That was the sound of us having a look at the front of... Yes. Well, it's possibly some work. It's certainly three-dimensional glasses are required to really appreciate it properly. That's Keely, somebody.
They light themselves up. It's amazing.
Okay.
With their own light source.
I'll accept that.
Life of their own.
They do.
I've opened the magazine and sadly not found that article, but I found that bloke who nude wrestles with Borat in the movie. I don't think he's had any work done.
That's Ken Davitan.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Hello there, LJ. How are you?
G'day, mate. G'day, fellas.
Hi. Who's had some work done?
Look, this isn't a new one either, but it's one that's gone under the microscope for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Jude Law.
Oh, Jude Law?
Yes, he has a David Letterman stick-on tuft.
Oh,
he's a bald man from the middle of the head back, but he runs the alternate tufts to deceive you.
Oh, yeah, because often you'll see a photograph of a celebrity getting off a plane and they've got no hair. And then a couple of weeks later, they'll be at a film premiere and bang, Noel Crombie somehow.
That's right.
So you reckon Jude Law, because I know John Travolta and Nicolas Cage have got the two shonkiest arrangements going on in Hollywood.
Jude's young enough. People didn't realise, you see. I think that's where he's got the age on his side, but made his ball.
Right. Well, touche, LJ. Thank you very much.
Saw the Warnie ads and decided that was the way to go. Thank you.
Is there a favourite bridge from
LJ?
Yeah, mate.
What's your favourite bridge?
My favourite bridge, without a doubt, has to be the Spit Bridge.
No, a wonderful bridge.
Mate, I was on it this morning waiting for the boom gates to come up and down. And
yep. Just really appreciating the 40-minute wait you get every morning. That's lovely.
Without a doubt.
Thank you, sir. Hi, Peter. How are you? Peter, how are you?
Good, mate.
Oh, good.
K-O-K.
Oh, Kerri-Anne Kennelly.
What sort of work she had done?
She's got the stunned rabbit look.
The stunned rabbit look?
Oh, no. Unable to register surprise.
At every question.
And do you think she's had sequins, surgically grafted onto her shoulders as well? Because she always seems to be...
Shoulder pads.
Yeah, she's been surgically bedazzled. Right, Kerri-Anne. Not a bad nominee. Thank you for calling us from your wind tunnel, sir.
Hi, Shell. How are you?
Good, mate. Good.
Oh, and what's your favourite bridge?
My favourite bridge has got to be the Indooroopilly Railway Bridge.
Oh, what a great...
The original one.
What a great bridge.
A beautiful sandstone pillar in the centre of the river holding the bridge up.
Mm.
Lovely bridge. Climbed out there many a time late at night, very stoned. And
well, as is traditional.
Sat on that sandstone pillar looking down the river.
Really?
Are you calling us from Indooroopilly now, sir?
No, I'm calling you from St Kilda.
Oh.
Okay. You just woke up in St Kilda. 1 minute I was on the bridge. Next second, St Kilda.
Are you sure you're in St Kilda? Thank you, Shell. Lovely to speak to you. Hello, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad, mate.
Who's had some work?
I think John Wood.
John Wood? What's he had done?
I think he's had a possum grafted at the back of his head from the looks on that Joanne Lee show last night.
Possum.
Yeah, it's a good career move.
Did you see the mullet on him?
I didn't. Tone, did you saw it? You saw it in the Joanne Lee's thing. How was it looking?
I was just distracted by Bradley John scowling, constant scowling, for legal reasons. Scowling, nothing but scowling. How many lines do you reckon Tom Long had in that movie?
Well, it could be minus a few.
Yeah. Minus a few. I was going with three or possibly four, but it could be right. Negative numbers.
Paul, what's your favourite bridge?
The one out of Blues Brothers, where they jump.
Oh, yes, in Chicago.
The Daily Bridge, is it?
I think it might be the Daily.
Touché,
right,
Paul. Well done, sir.
I can't actually remember what the question is for Talkback Mountain today. I'm so confused. Have we got time for one more?
Genevieve, how are you?
Oh, hi, Ed and Tony and Richard. Sorry.
Who's had some work done? Sorry.
I would go for, and I've got a very good reason, Elle Macpherson.
Oh, why is that?
Well, like you look, Tony, towards Keanu Reeves, I look towards her. She's the same age as me, 2 months younger.
Yep.
And she's been a beach babe. Well, where's all the sun lines?
Yes. She should
be. And she's popped out two children as well. Where are the baby bumps? Where are the... stretch marks. It's not right.
Yeah, she should be looking like a stretch mark leathery suitcase.
That's right.
By now.
Anyway, Genevieve, what's your favourite bridge?
Oh, look, I'll be boring and say the Harbour Bridge because I'm a Sydney girl living in Melbourne and I miss it.
Okay, well.
Did you walk across the bridge yesterday?
No, I'm living
in Melbourne. So did you find a similar bridge and walk across that?
Oh, no, I just gazed longingly at photographs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Well, thank you, everyone that called in.
Yes, everyone in here is gazing longingly at the front of Zoo magazine at the moment. I think we may have to go to a break. In the next hour, we'll be talking dogs with someone who knows a talking dog.
Wow.
Ouch. It's Adam Zwar.
Get this.
Crunch the numbers and that's a lot of unhappy punters.
Brought to you by Andy Chow, a drummer who still uses hexagonal drums a la Pseudo Echo and whose favourite film is Tango and Cash. Sorry, ladies, he's taken.
What I want, cause I can. If I don't, because I wanna.
It must be lunchtime.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored, because I'm gonna.
Oh, we've got the choir boys coming up at this hour.
Hey.
Put down what you're doing, everybody. I'd like to think so. It's the second hour of Get This, and Adam Zwar is here.
Hello.
Fake round.
Hello, guys.
Talking dogs. We want to
We want to talk about talking dogs today. Mm. You're in this new show, Wilfred. Mm. Starts on SBS tonight. Mm. But did you see Australia's Got Talent last night?
Me? No, I didn't. I was watching the Joanne Lees story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How scary was that, Bradley John Murdoch?
Oh, right, yeah, the facial movements of Richard Carter. Yeah, yeah, he's great. He scared me. I mean, he was born to play that role, obviously.
We got sent a DVD of it here at the station, and there was a sticker on the back that said, oh, Bradley John Murdoch has, put in for an appeal. So you're going, well, it can't stop it going to air. But obviously they had to cut all of his lines out, and all that was left was the scowling.
That's right. Is that a fact?
I'm assuming that's the fact.
I was wondering, wow, they've cut to the same take of him just, doing that chin wobble. And they keep go back to the chin wobble,
Team of lawyers going, is that chin wobble libelous? Can we allow that?
Who's he wobbling his chin at?
So I was hoping he was going to get up and do, a musical number.
That'd be nice.
That's right.
In the courtroom.
Called sub judice.
Why not? We're off the subject of talking dogs. There was dogs on tightropes on Australia's Got Talent. Mm. Yeah. We're going to talk about all manner of dog behaviour, particularly when dogs like to be humans.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
And cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. We've got one of those.
Oh, it's all coming up. It's going to be a big hour of Get This. That's Blondie here at Get This, the second hour on Triple M around the nation. Some more of that fake applause, would you, for Adam Zwar, the star of Wilfred, goes out on SBS tonight at 10 o'clock. Before we get to that, what were you telling us about this Ralph Fiennes hostie?
Well, yeah, Lisa Robinson. I'm fascinated by this story. I was saying that she's bankrupt, so all the money that she's made for her interviews with 60 Minutes and the Daily Mail in London have gone straight to her creditors.
Oh, right.
Because she took action against the, I think it was the New South Wales Police Force and lost. And
right.
And so she's about...
You don't often win that, do you?
No.
Like their success rate's pretty good in court. The police force.
Seen blue murder?
Yeah. Well, not in New South Wales. You don't get to see blue murder.
And now she's saying, yes, I'm a prostitute. No, always was.
Yeah. At least just put a nice picture of me in the paper this time.
That's right. And the name was Sky. It's lovely, isn't it? Symmetry.
And you're saying that she's not being paid for revealing the truth?
No, she didn't. The Daily Telegraph made it quite clear that she was not paid to say that she was a prostitute. And she just came out with it. So last week she said no. And then on Saturday someone... Marnie O'Neill says there must have been a sweet talk to her.
But you can trust Marnie. That's the thing. That's what I've always learned. That's where I'll be going. When all it comes out about me,
that's
where I'm headed.
I'll tell you what, guys, if you get a call from Marnie O'Neill, hang up.
Now, Adam,
in
addition to your acting work, you used to do a gossip column yourself, didn't you, in one of the papers?
I used to, when Fiona Boone was on holidays, I used to fill in for her. But I did... showbiz kind of journalism for years, which is, it's the high end of, journalism. You've got investigative journalists and then showbiz.
Yeah. Well, see, we've been learning a few tricks. Richard Marsden told us a great one, which I notice he's employing in all the photos on our website, which is if you stand on the left side of the photograph in the social pages, then your name is first when they underneath do the caption.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, of course, yes, makes perfect sense. And if you stand on the left-hand side of the camera, the eye is drawn to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just stay on the left, guys.
And
politics, everything.
So when you were doing, gossip column work, were there any tricks of the trade you can give us? I mean, how would you have got a story like Ralph Fiennes host, he goes off?
I was quite tame. I didn't have the balls, really, to do that kind of stuff. The cold call always, freaked me out. I had to, once we got a call... I was doing the late shift at the Sunday Herald Sun, and we got a call that a president of a AFL club had been busted for drink driving.
Oh.
And
all right.
It didn't take long to work out.
That's called a 42 regular, that one.
Yeah. Big Jack Elliott. So we went out. They said, go out to his place.
Oh.
And
offer him a drink.
That's right. Yeah. Offer
him. Then they say you need a lift.
It's 11 o'clock at night.
All right.
And I just stood out that big mansion in Toorak as it was then, and I thought, no, I can't do it. So I rang up the news desk and I said, I've tried the intercom, he said he didn't want to talk. Oh, just try it one more time, Adam. And so I just held my breath and I pressed the intercom, and his then wife answered.
Yeah.
And she had no idea about this, and I presented her with the news and she was in tears, and she didn't want to like go. I mean, it was just short of asking me upstairs for a cup of tea, and I'm just I had the tape recorder up next to the intercom, and I just felt terrible about it, and I said, look, you know, look, I've got to go now, and she, you know, just kept wanting to chat, and I finally, you know, just finished, you know, just got away from the intercom in time,
ran out of tape.
To file for the last edition, and then I saw her in the street. A little bit. I didn't, you know, go and say hello to her or anything, but I just it rammed home the guilt factor. I felt guilty very easily.
Wow.
So I couldn't. I didn't have, you know, the stomach for this. You know, I'm glad I've changed sides. You know, I was abused by Sting once because I interviewed him and I said because I read in the files that his son was in a police cover band and he said my son loathes the police and so do I.
Oh,
not so now.
No.
Yeah.
Just put the loathing on hold for a bit of coinage. I'm trying to find some gossip on you, so I've got onto the internet.
Mm.
Not much. It says here, though, that your dad wrote a book that inspired the movie Wild Geese 2 with Laurence Olivier, slumming it.
And Michael Caine.
Wow.
Yeah, it was called The Loneliest Man in the World, obviously. I just said that. It was about Rudolf Hess. It's a true story.
So it didn't even inspire Wild Geese 1.
No. That's right. Olivier played Hess. Very serious book. I don't know if the movie did justice to it. I've never seen the movie. Have you seen the movie?
No, it's not made the leap to DVD at this point.
Adam, could you write a book that inspires wild hogs too?
Yeah, that's right.
No! We don't need that. We've barely mentioned Wilfred. Let's do that next on Get This. That's In Excess here at Get This Never Let You Go around the nation on Triple M. Our guest today is Adam Zwar. Mm. Our guest tomorrow is Kathy Gobbold, so I'm expecting...
The vicious, unprovoked fight fueled by a cocktail of alcohol and drugs.
You know what she's like?
Yeah. She bringing the cocktail?
She what?
She bringing the cocktail?
Oh, sure she is.
Alcohol and drugs?
Yeah. Hey? She's playing Rosemary Margen in that movie about Graham Kennedy.
Yes.
That's enough of an excuse to be booked on this program.
Yeah.
Do nicely. Overqualified.
Just before we get to Wilfred, you mentioned you've done a bit of journalistic work, Adam. What advice for Richard Marsland, whose column, I think, is about to be axed in
Adelaide? That's right. Yeah, no, I've been boned. Next week's actually this Sunday is my last column.
This
What's
Sunday,
it about, Rich?
The Sunday Mail in Adelaide.
The Sunday Mail in Adelaide. And they always told me, like, when I started doing it, it's the brief of, like, the perspective of a young man.
Yeah.
It's a man's world. We all just live in it.
That kind of thing.
And they said to read your columns to take inspiration and some, you know...
Jokes.
The tone of your column, yeah.
Yeah,
so basically jokes. Just,
yeah. Help yourself.
Just copied and pasted.
It was pretty short on jokes, my column. I was once described as a poor man's Andrew Bolt.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
and that was good that was interesting. Yeah.
Ever since global warming turned out to be true, he's the poor man's Andrew Bolt.
Right.
He's kind of gone mad.
Yeah,
Like he's sort of, this is Andrew Bolt, if you don't know, you would have seen him national audience on Insiders, but he's mainly confined to Melbourne in the Herald Sun.
If you're in Sydney, he's kind of Piers Ackerman in an Andrew Bolt costume.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you're in somewhere else, just someone who writes about stuff and hates it.
But he's kind of a lapdog of both Rupert Murdoch and John Howard.
It's
and
quite now a lap. It's quite a lap.
It is. But now that both of them have come out and said global warming's real, he's just thrown. He's just confused. This does not compute.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, when you work for Murdoch newspapers, you know the line at all times.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, everyone says, every all the editors say, at no stage has Rupert Murdoch ever laid down the law to me and told me what to do and what my editorial policy should be. But it is implicit in every kind of News Limited journalist what the line is at any time, you know.
Isn't it amazing that 170 newspapers around the world all came to the same conclusion about the Iraq War?
That's right.
Not one editor decided that it was a bad thing.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's, you know.
But they could have if they wanted.
Yeah.
They could have.
Hand on heart. Yeah, it's but anyway, yeah, I did this column called The Wise Guy for 3 years, and I.
What did you blow the lid off? What did you blow the lid right off?
The Wise Guy. What did he?
Do you know what I did? I wrote this column once about how, you know, everyone wants you to be good looking these days. You know, to get employed, you know, you need to be good looking. And I said there's one job where you don't need to be good looking. In fact, it's a disadvantage, and that's Prime Minister of Australia. And I looked trace through Barton all the way through. There's never been one good-looking Australian Prime Minister.
No, I can't.
I mean, Keating was kind of cool. Keating was very cool.
Yeah.
You know, but wasn't good looking, kind of had that Undertaker chic thing happening. You know?
That's right.
But yeah, so I, you know, blew the lid on that. I don't think anyone had, you know, uncovered that before.
No, that's good stuff. You know,
yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think. There must be one. There's like one that looked like George Clooney in the 1940s. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Weird looking bone. McMahon certainly had the genes.
McMahon had the ears.
You're a McMahon connection. Triple M. Bring it in. Who's your hottest 1930s prime minister?
We still haven't mentioned Wilfred. It's starting.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. That's why he's here. Starts tonight on SBS, 10 o'clock. You know, you see the poster. It's Jason Gann dressed as a dog. You think, oh, that'll be a lovable evening of comedy. In fact, it's frightening. It's slightly disturbing. It is funny. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
But it takes an odd David Lynch-ish turn from time to time.
Yeah, yeah. Especially in that first episode. There's a little bit of darkness there. Yeah, Jason and I wrote that in a very, you know, a very emotional time and a very dark time in our lives.
It was a short film originally.
Yeah. That's when and the darkness hasn't lifted that much.
Now,
really.
Was this based on some horrible relationship you were in? By
yeah, way? I went on a date with this girl, and it was all going lovely. Went back to her place, and I was playing with the ball with the dog, and the dog was catching the ball, and it was all lovely. Went to the bedroom. Dog was it was a half Labrador, half dingo, and he was growling at me. So I got out of there really quick. And
So he's like the bouncer at the bedroom door.
That's it, yeah.
No, the ball's fine. We're not going in here.
Not in those shoes, mate.
No. Yeah, you've got a collar on that shirt. I thought maybe it was an aberration and everything. But I told Jason about it, and he was, you know, he'd we were going to make another short film, and it was about a rock star, and Jason was going to play a rock star, and he had, at the time, the greatest haircut he's ever had.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful haircut. It was highlighted and everything. But he was asked to do a pilot for a sizzle reel for a Nazi youth film.
Oh, yeah.
By
this
gay director. The beautiful haircut went, you know, with the short back and sides.
Yeah, so he couldn't do that film.
I was depressed at this girl, you know, because we'd gone to a Powderfinger concert a week later, and I introduced her to one of the guys from Powderfinger because I grew up with them and went to go away to get the drinks and, came back and...
They're engaged.
Yep. So
and the dog's there laughing. Going, yes. That plan worked.
The dog's thinking, I like this Powderfinger guy. Yeah. He's cool.
And to get over your depression, you were sitting at home making yourself a dog suit, and you thought, hang on, we can do something with this.
Jason and I just started improvising, and he was the dog, and I was me. And and we just said, this would make a good short film. And we wrote it very quickly and went hunting for dog suits. And we kept getting, the director was Tony Rogers, very particular about the dog suit. And when we had the dog suit out of the wardrobe, the costume hire place, the whole place burnt down.
Really?
So we just salvaged the dog suit. And and it was... It was right for the...
I hate to think how many people had to make their own Austin Powers costumes after that.
That's right.
But the thing is, it's now an 8-part series, not just a short film.
Mm.
And it's a disturbing relationship, really, between you and this dog.
Yeah, yeah. It was very difficult to shoot it because I just found the abuse. We're on set 10, 12 hours a day, and I was abused for most of that time, you know, every day by the dog. And I started to, you know, think, is this reality? Is this, you know, is this my new life? I got very depressed.
Well, you know, our favourite topic on this subject is animals pretending to be humans.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about that next.
Get this.
That's not an isolated thing these days, with one in three homes cracking up.
Brought to you by Kathleen Rigglesworth, who's sick of people making jokes about her name. Don't worry, Kathleen. We wouldn't sink that low. Although, feel free to call me on the hotline. I'll tell you what a wriggle's worth, hey? Know what I mean? Hey, steady on. Down, boy.
Triple M. Let's get this around the nation here on Triple M. Adam Zwar, the star of Wilfred, goes out tonight on SBS at 10 o'clock, is here. But just before we talk animals, Adam,
Triple M listeners get very anxious if they don't hear the choir boys from time to time.
Stop calling, people.
So let's crank it up. Here it is. Just the way you like it. Run to Paradise.
My attitude is that this is a song which has been written from the heart.
If people greater like this, well, fair enough.
That's the choir boys. Run to Paradise. Adam Zwa is with us from Wilfred SBS tonight. Are you saying you saw the choir boys do that at the concert of the century?
Mushroom 25th.
Remember that when Mushroom just went, yeah, we've only been around for 25 years, but bugger it, we'll take credit for the whole century.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
All of the music of the last century was leading up to the choir boys. Then it was downhill, and we're still waiting for something else to have the same kind of oomph. You know, maybe if Noiseworks got back together, got back in the studio, a few more Baywatch themes, then we might be getting somewhere.
Angels.
Ed was just, and you've done a bit of journalism, but obviously you weren't aware of Crystal's column in Zoo Magazine.
Yeah.
Where last week she revealed, we talked about this on the show, that, quote, as the practice of teabagging becomes more common.
I got teabagged three times during that song alone.
Yeah. Were you aware of that, Adam?
No, I didn't know. I really didn't. I'm just embarrassed myself in front of Ed. I don't know what, I didn't know what teabagging was. Where have I been, etc. But he said, it's, and she says here that it's, as the practice of teabagging becomes more common, it's a must take care of area. That's, you know.
Yeah, downstairs.
Poor old Mr. Ballsack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as she says. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I don't know how common it is. I mean, Marson, do you find just going down the shops, maybe, you know, walking up the street, teabagging everywhere you look?
Occasionally. Sometimes you're teabagged without even knowing it.
That's right. So I like that. Yeah. So the Parsons is teabagged.
Something for your column, Rich. I mean, you've got one to go.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe
final column.
A teabagging / flatbagging / braining sort of hazing.
Teabagging in the city. Yeah. Hey, there's a television series.
I like the idea.
Are you going to do the big goodbye thing?
I'll just have a little parting. Great. Thanks very much for the forum.
You can have a crack at anyone. You can have a swipe.
You've got a snap.
No, I can't have it.
Can't you have a go at some of the many footballers' wives that are taking over your columns?
Okay.
No, they've been very good to me.
Have they? Yeah, people, footballers' wives?
Well,
or
I mean, I guess I don't have the profile of a footballer's wife.
That's true. Because you've never done anything. I mean, they've gone out, met a footballer in a nightclub, married them.
Dragged him home.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this is that is journalism.
That's right.
You, years of writing, who cares?
National radio show.
Whatever.
No, nothing.
Next, please.
That's right.
We've actually got a footballer's wife coming here to panel next week.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it.
All right, we're off the subject of teabagging. Animals behaving like people. Don't you? There was a bit of it on Australia's Got Talent last night. There was a dog walking a tightrope. I mean, does television get any better than that? What have you seen?
Well, cats, you know, wandering around like they own the place. Wearing hats.
My mum had a really fat cat that would dig a hole in the lawn and then lie back in it like it was a hammock.
Oh, fantastic.
And so the cat was flat with the ground.
Yeah, have been known.
Yeah. That's, I guess, almost human behaviour. We had a dog that could climb a ladder if you put a biscuit at the top of it.
That's pretty good.
And getting the back leg and front leg coordination, that's very impressive.
You've got that great thing that Bee does with what are you wearing, the with the lead.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's my Labrador. I'll just go, you know, it's time to go to the park. What are you wearing? She goes and gets the collar. But Cal Wilson pointed out, that sounds a bit rude.
Yes.
I called the dog on the phone and said that would be wrong. What are you wearing?
Obviously getting, you know, an old classic is, you know, getting the paper and the slippers and all that kind of feel. Yeah. I don't think that happens very much anymore.
Yeah, our dog gets the paper and will take plastic bottles out to the recycle bin.
Very good dog.
If it's a Labrador, all you need is one salt and vinegar chip and you can train them to do that in 5 minutes.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. Impressive.
I've got a cat that pats me. If I'm
you?
Well, yeah. Oh. I think it's actually a sign to say that, like, if I'm not patting his head, he'll reach up and pat my head.
Oh my goodness!
And that's the signal. That's what I want.
Time for pats.
Patting on the head, not the tummy, Adam. The head.
I've got my cats used to get into bed with myself, of course, and they'd be upset if they couldn't get under the doona and put their head on the pillow.
Yes,
on the pillow, and then maybe just the two little paws.
Oh my god!
Over the sheet there. That's a good look.
So cute, you don't mind not getting any sleep.
Nah.
Animals behaving prefer like it. People.
I sort of grew up on a farm and my parents, they raised this little pig, this beautiful pig called Isabel. But she didn't know, she was sort of, they imprint pigs. They'll follow you around if, you know, they do it from a young age. And she had no idea though that she had grown to about 3 meters long and half a ton sort of heavy.
Right.
She
and
was
delicious.
This beautiful old sow. And she would roll in the mud and then she managed to bash down the screen door of the front house. Came in and laid, this is absolutely true, came in and laid on the couch.
Oh,
she's so into what she wanted, because she used to come
inside.
She
didn't want to miss hey.
When she was a piglet, she used to come inside, but then she just thinks, well, I can still do it now that I'm a massive sow, and just mud all over the couch, Rich, destroyed it forever.
Was she delicious in the end?
She died of pneumonia, thanks for bringing
sorry.
Us.
On the couch, hogging the remotes.
Yes. Hogging.
Hey? Fantastic. Hey? Oh, I didn't even mean that. Ah. Oh, no, accidental pun. You should be ringing the mock bell for that one. Out of the pool, Martin. Oh,
this is going to be great.
Okay, we want... It's going to be great, is it?
Yeah.
It's not going to be a dovetail like the last hour.
There might be.
What's your favourite bridge? That's what Ed decided to throw into our phone in.
Yeah,
underrated
right.
statues?
No. We're
great
not doing,
stairwells of the 1800s?
We're not doing that. Call us with your human behaviour performed by animals. 1-333-53. This ain't a scene, it's an arms race. Insist, Fallout Boy. It's get this here at Triple M. Adam Zwar is here with us. He's in Wilfred, which is on SBS tonight and involves, well, part of it involves a dog that behaves like a human.
Mm.
So we thought that's enough of an excuse to play Animals Behaving Like People. Who's got one, Ed?
Laura, how are you?
Hey, Ed, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Tell me, talk us through it.
Okay, I've got this little dog, little Maltese cross dog, and he clearly thinks that he is my partner as opposed to my actual partner.
Wow.
So when my husband will try to get into bed, he will slap his hand away when he tries to move the dog.
Really?
So he's reprimanding my husband now, so that's quite interesting.
Well, this is pretty much the plot of Wilfred tonight on SBS.
Exactly. You got to watch.
Yeah, I will, absolutely. Yeah, he's a bit hostile towards what he sees as a usurping of his rightful authority, so.
Usurping. There's a lot of usurping in your show. I mean, how bad can it get?
It gets terrible. In our show, he does cries for help, various cries for help, which involve pooing and pissing, stuff like that. I don't know if that happens to you, Laura.
Laura, I hope it's not escalating to that kind of behaviour. We've lost Laura.
Hi, Tina, how are you?
Oh, hi, man, how are you? I'm trying to get my dog to talk for you, because he sits on a chair like a human, you know, against the back of the chair, legs out, and he thinks he can join in the conversation.
Oh, well, he'd pretty much be up for a midnight to dawn shift here at Triple M.
Hey, with my friends, he'd be way above their level, I'm telling you.
And any luck? Is he going to have a chat to us?
I think so. Let's see if he can. I'll put the phone up. Just give me 5 seconds.
Here we
seconds
go.
Or so.
No problem,
okay.
Tina.
Charlie, sit. What? Oh, you want a ball? Can you hear that?
There was something.
Are you being eaten alive, Tina? There was some noise. You know what, Tina? I'm going to say fair enough. I think he said more choir boys.
Well, he wants balls. He plays with his balls. He chews balls. Fair anything enough. To do with balls.
Thank you, Tina.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
Nicely coached.
Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you going?
I'm really good. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I've got a couple. My folks used to have a dog that used to like riding the jet ski.
Oh.
Just to go peeing on the jet ski.
What, just take it out by itself?
Oh, no, he couldn't. He didn't have the opposable thumbs to work the throttle.
Ah, yeah, that's the main problem. But he'd love to get on and have a ride.
Yeah.
And you said you had another?
Yeah, one of my current dogs used to go nuts when Andrew Gatto came on TV.
Just Andrew Gatto, not Lockie Gatto?
No, he didn't like Andrew Gatto.
Nothing for Cameron?
No.
Just Andrew
Gatto.
Just
the one.
He's good.
he's actually here. He's a bit asleep in the car at the moment.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Yeah,
well we don't have any Andrew Gatto coming up, no, so we'll be fine there.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
G'day.
Tell us through it.
I have a cat that has to sit at the dining table suite.
Oh, yes.
It also has to match our dinner set. And it has to be the same food.
Same food?
Wow.
Yep.
So it could be sitting at the table and you could just put a plate of cat food there and it just turn the nose up. No.
Exactly.
Unless you were all eating cat food. So have you guys all had to start eating whiskers, or has it started eating human food?
No, she likes smoked salmon particularly.
She likes smoked salmon?
She does, and croissants.
How did this start, Kathy? How did this all start?
Yeah.
She started as a kitten when I used to feed her tidbits.
She's
very bad.
You indulged
her. We also used to have a racehorse that drank beer.
There's a history.
But no, I think Adam's onto something. At what point does the cat just, you know, get up to the table? You know, you just look over one day and there it is with a serviette on. Going, I'll be part of this too if you don't mind.
See ya. Oh, Kathy, that's cute. Okay. Hello, Mr. A, how are you?
How you going?
Excellent. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I've got a cat. Yeah, as you do, you kick him outside.
Mm. Well, no, but yeah.
About an hour later, he comes back, knocks on the door.
Knocks on the door? With what?
I don't know, but his paw, his head.
Just with the paw, just with the claws, tapping.
The tap, tap,
yeah,
tap.
One day he was knocking on the door. I said, hang on, I'll be there in a sec. Sounds like a human's knocking.
Yeah.
And you come as the cat. I'll be there in a sec.
It's the cat trying to sell you encyclopedias.
And does it, like, you know, leave a little bit of it, something in a paper bag on fire and then do a runner?
Yeah, tried to.
Nicholas is there. How are you, Nicholas?
Hang on one second.
Nicholas, you there?
Yep, how are we?
Good, sir. What's going on?
Well, I've got a cat that actually thinks he's half dog, half human, and I think he's forgotten he's a cat.
What's he doing?
Well, when I want his attention, I whistle.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, like the old...
Yeah.
Then he'll sit on my command. He won't eat until I give him food from my hand.
Wow.
And he could be in the front of the house. He'd be at the back of the house. You rattle a bag of chippies.
Mm-hmm.
He's right down at your toes going, where's mine?
Of course. They can hear a bag of chips from 3 blocks away.
And so can you take the cat for a walk?
No, he's not quite that trained, but he will follow me all the way up to the front of the driveway at the clip of my heels.
Oh, this is great.
Wait, not over yet. Okay. And if I ignore him, he tries to trip me over.
Tries to trip you over.
Sets up a tripwire.
That is fantastic. Obviously, cats on a lead is something we can't encourage.
No, I mean, we can encourage.
Really? But surely you're just going to be walking along the top of a fence in no time.
We can't do anyone else. There are plenty, but thank you all for calling in.
And some great ideas from Wilfred. I'd like to see Wilfred atop a jet ski in one episode.
That's possibly
a plot point.
Does he get outside much?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Does he escape?
Yeah, he escapes regularly.
Yes.
And he's and brings back better suitors for Sarah. His master says, "Look, you know, and they're all absolutely stunning looking. These guys, you know, they got it from some model agency, and but Sarah stupidly wants to stay with me."
Yeah, right.
Well, I think what we've learned today is that Wilfred is a lot more realistic than perhaps you thought when you were writing it. We'll be back to wind up the show in just a minute. I'll get this. Oh, thank you, Natalie Imbruglia. It must be time to go here and get this on Triple M. Adam Zwar, thanks for sitting in for the whole
thank you,
hour.
Sir. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Your show, Wilfred, goes out 10 o'clock on SBS. Now, I think it's after pizza. Is that new episodes of pizza?
New episodes of pizza.
New episodes of pizza, and then the news, and then us.
All right.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah. On the back of the news.
And good luck to the pizza team,
hey,
too.
Yeah, now, I was just talking to Adam off air.
Yes.
Uzi Samson makes an appearance in the series.
Oh, really?
Kim Gingell.
Yep, Gus is the only other dog. We need to find someone with a deeper voice than Jason, which is pretty hard. He's got a very deep voice, and of course, plays his
Genie Little Unavailable.
Well, I put on the disc of episode one, and it's only about probably 2.5 minutes in before you're reminded you're watching SBS as the dog's pulling a bong and coming out with the sort of language that I only associate with our callers here. Let's just say Wilfred is giving Al Swearingen a run for his money.
That's right.
Tonight's episode. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
All the best with the series. And our key phrase today, you know, it was one we hadn't heard. It was one we haven't heard for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear it once more.
Please explain.
She's back.
We'll be back tomorrow with Kathy Gombold. And it's all thanks to, as yet, nobody.